Good morning, Neyland family, friends, and visitors. I'm excited to be here with you this morning with a word from Exodus. Most of you probably know that I did from seminary just a few months ago, and one of my favorite classes was on the book of Exodus. I took this class shortly after returning from a study tour to Israel and Jordan, which made this Exodus class just so much richer because suddenly the words in the text made a lot more sense. Something that stuck out to me in Exodus is that within the first few chapters, we encounter multiple saviors who are all women. Now, I don't know about you, but Moses is one of the first characters that I learned about from the Bible. Yet I didn't know much about the women who supported him and saved him, like his sister Miriam, his wife Zipporah, or the midwives Shiphrah and Puah from today's text. I didn't realize how many women were responsible for saving Moses' life. Just like Pharaoh didn't know that Joseph, a Hebrew man, once saved Egypt from starvation. Now, most of us have probably had our Pharaoh moments. Sometimes we're unaware of important history. But when we forget our history, we miss out on generations of stories that teach us about ourselves and about God. I remember going to CORE, which stands for Congregations Organizing for Racial Reconciliation. And this was a training, and I realized how much American history I had totally missed. I had totally not understood, or I just ignored and didn't listen to. I was really struck by how my understanding of American history just expanded so greatly once I got a fuller picture of what's been going on for the last few hundred years. Pharaoh also forgot to look at the bigger picture, and because of that, he forgot that the Hebrews and the Egyptians, they used to support one another and work together. So now, after all this time, he doesn't know his history. Now he has grown to fear the Hebrew people. When we focus on our fears, like Pharaoh did, we start to panic and we grasp for control. We forget that there is a being higher than us who cares for us dearly. God is out there and God can see the whole picture. But we as people, we can only see what is right in front of us. And sometimes that causes us to panic. And because of that, most of us can understand what Pharaoh was going through at this point. Can you just imagine him overthinking the Hebrew population, picturing all these worst-case scenarios, and then panicking and overreacting? It's superhuman what Pharaoh is doing, and even though hopefully we're not on the same level as Pharaoh, most of us, again, can understand that cycle of overthinking, panicking, and then grasping for control. And we can probably relate to Shiphrah and Puah's side of the situation, too. These Hebrew midwives were put in a really horrible position and a really scary position. I mean, their lives and their jobs were on the line, but so was their obedience to God. And somehow, they chose a just way to respond to Pharaoh's orders. You see, just like we have stories of our elders to reflect back on, so did the people in these ancient times. And perhaps Shiphrah and Puah knew the stories of God's faithfulness to their people, which is what gave them the courage to defy Pharaoh. We can read about one of Shiphrah and Puah's elders in Genesis, the Hebrew man named Joseph, who once saved Egypt from starvation. But Joseph's story was really messy. It wasn't always heroic. It was a big mess, if you know this story. So when he was younger, he was quite obviously his father's favorite son, and Joseph's brothers hated that. They hated it so much that they took their own brother and they sold him into slavery. Joseph was taken to Egypt, where he lived as a servant to some really important people. And eventually, Joseph gained the trust of those people. After a long, messy road, he also was given an important role himself. So in Joseph's leadership role, and because God was guiding him, Joseph stored up a bunch of food, and then in the future, when there was this famine, he was able to save Egypt and a bunch of other people from starving. So Joseph, super cool, right? If Pharaoh had known this, perhaps things would have been different. What's ironic about this is Joseph's brothers actually came to him during this famine, begging for food and refuge, and when Joseph could have turned them away, like, y'all sold me into slavery, I don't think so, go starve. Instead, he welcomed them, he saved them, and he loved them. And in the end, Joseph was wise enough to see that what his brothers intended for evil, God used for good. And after this story is where our text took off from today. Years after Joseph and his brothers had all passed away, there was this new Pharaoh in Egypt, and he didn't remember Joseph. He didn't know that Joseph, a Hebrew man, was once responsible for saving Egypt from starvation. So Pharaoh hated the Hebrew people. When Pharaoh saw them, he saw a threat. And Pharaoh was so concerned about their growing population and potential to team up against the Egyptians that he tried to seize control over them. Pharaoh told his Egyptian slave masters, "Be harsh with them, give them hard work to do, beat them, subdue them so that they will be broken and no longer a threat to me." What's interesting, as we read in the text, is that the more Pharaoh oppressed the Hebrew people, the more they grew. So apparently having babies was a good stress reliever for the Hebrew people, and Pharaoh's plans totally backfired. So when his plan wasn't working, Pharaoh decided again to do another even more evil thing. He ordered two Hebrew midwives to murder every baby boy that was born to the Hebrews. Talk about grasping for control. Ouch. But you see, he didn't see Hebrew baby girls as threats, which of course was a big mistake on his behalf, because not taking women's power and intelligence seriously is what got Pharaoh into trouble later on. You see, for the people in Egypt, Pharaoh was the law, point blank. So really, the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Pua, they could have justified their role in the murder of these baby boys. They could have said, you know, we had no choice. Our hands were tied. We're enslaved people. What are we supposed to do? But they didn't. They feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, so they defied Pharaoh's orders. What's interesting is that a lot of commentators or teachers have referred to women of the Bible, or women in general, kind of as like crafty or sneaky, therefore not really to be trusted doing God's work, right? Yet many times in the Bible, we see women and other marginalized people using their craftiness and their sneakiness to manipulate situations like this for justice. Even when these marginalized people weren't allowed to work in the religious context, that did not stop them from ministering to each other in every way that they could. Shifra and Pua knew that Pharaoh had no idea how birth worked. He, like most men at the time, had no idea what went on there because this was in the realm of women. So when Pharaoh found out that those Hebrew boys were not being killed, like he ordered, he questioned the midwives. Why would they defy him? How could they do this to him? He has all the power, doesn't he? "Well, Pharaoh," the Hebrew women said, or the midwife said, "Hebrew women, they're just so vigorous and strong. Unlike Egyptian women who need all the help they can get from the midwives, Hebrew women, they give birth just like that. I mean, by the time we've shown up to all these births, the baby boys have already been born, so we didn't have the chance to smother them discreetly. Sorry, Pharaoh." And the funny thing about this is that it totally worked. We don't necessarily hear how Pharaoh reacted to them, but we know that the midwives made it out of there. In fact, the text doesn't say anything like, "God was glad the babies were spared, but God was still upset with the craftiness of Shifra and Pua, because it's never okay to lie." Nope. What it says is that God remembered Shifra and Pua. And God does not tell the midwives, "Hey, you could have done this better," or "Your lying wasn't necessary." God saw where their hearts were at, and God counted their actions as righteousness and rewarded them with families of their own. As for Pharaoh, he was so oblivious to what was happening, that he turned around and he just issued more orders to kill Hebrew baby boys, this time by tossing them into the Nile River. And Pharaoh once again said, "Let the Hebrew girls live," because he didn't see them as threats. Pharaoh learned nothing at all. And in Exodus 2, we see that even more women, including Pharaoh's daughter, even more women found creative ways of defying Pharaoh's orders. And this is all what helped keep Moses alive. And Moses is the man that God used to deliver the Hebrew people out from slavery under the Egyptians. Friends, something we ought to notice from this story is that God does not see the world the way we do. In fact, God doesn't necessarily even see right and wrong quite the way we do. When it comes to God, biblical justice is defined by God. Not by human rules, not by human laws, not by traditions or gender roles. And this justice from God, this is what should motivate each one of us to speak up when we need to and protest things that oppose goodness and truth in God's ways. Like Shifra and Pua, most of you have jobs where you work directly out there in the world with people. And there are endless examples of unique people out there. Just ask an Uber driver. I actually really like to ask my Uber drivers every time that I ride in the car, like, do you talk to the other people? Do you keep quiet? Do you get a bunch of stories? I don't know if they're just being nice to me because I'm a customer, but they always tell me, yeah, we love visiting with people. I mean, that's how you get to know that the human race is just, we're so diverse, every little bit of us. So when we only pay attention to the stories of a few people, either in our Bibles or if we're only reading books that are written by people that look like us, we miss the bigger picture that includes all of the unique people God has made. Every little underdog, every big hotshot. God uses all of us. It can seem easy to forget characters whose stories seem small or get lost in the larger story, but even and especially in these smaller stories is where we see God. In Exodus chapter 1, we don't have a happy ending. Sure, God remembers the midwives and gives them families, but in the last sentence, we see Pharaoh once again giving more orders to kill Hebrew baby boys in even more gruesome ways. But even though we don't get our happy ending yet, there is still so much to learn about God in this story. God was aware of the midwives' courage and holy rebellion. God saw them face the risk of defying Pharaoh rather than obey him, even though Pharaoh held all earthly power over these midwives. By fighting for God's justice instead of simply following orders, Shifra and Pua responded in a bold yet crafty way that professed their loyalty to God. And we learn that God is all for it. God sees what they had to do and God blessed them. From this, we can learn that God doesn't necessarily care about convention or the human rules we create, but what God does care about is doing what is right. And this same God sees you, each one of you, and all the big and small decisions that you have to make too, all the pressures on your shoulders, all the details of life. God sees you. So what does it look like for you to resist the earthly pressures in the name of biblical justice? Are there situations at school where you could stand up to bullies for the sake of the underdog kids? Are there people in your meetings that get stepped on or ignored? Would it be easier to stay silent, but you feel something in your gut telling you to speak up? Are there laws or rules in our earthly societies that don't match up with what God asks of us? How will you respond to those things? Friends, each one of you has the power and the choice to dabble in some holy rebellion for the sake of justice. Every one of you is called to resist evil and hurtful things and to stick up and speak up for the oppressed. Each one of you is called to see the world differently in light of who God is and who we are. Remember that Pharaoh saw men as threats and women as weak, a very typical and traditional way to create gender differences and stereotypes in our world. We're all kind of used to this, right? But what Pharaoh saw as weak, God used powerfully. What Pharaoh saw as useless, God put to use. It's ironic that the people Pharaoh believed weren't strong or smart or important were the same people working behind the scenes to undermine and destroy his plans. How is it that the people with the least power in this story made the biggest power move right in front of Pharaoh? Well, God loves paradox, meaning God loves to hold two things together even when they seem like they couldn't both be true. God holds them together. God can handle complicated. So we should accept the fact that paradox is all around us, and God is never going to stop surprising us. If we are only paying attention to the pieces of history or scripture that make sense to us or don't get too messy, then we are not looking at the full picture. And friends, each one of you is invited to enter into the mess and the chaos of life rather than play it safe. To be bold and to be risky and to ask hard questions and resist injustice. This story with the midwives is messy because they not only defied the leader of their country, they lied to his face. They had to talk to him. And yet the text says that God blessed them for it. So, how do we know when it's okay to defy earthly leaders? Which laws are good or bad? What laws are suggestions and which ones are concrete? Which laws lift up the worth in your fellow humans and which laws oppress them further? The truth is, there are no clear-cut lines in this story from Exodus 1, so I don't have an answer for you on that. But that's why we need to remember that humans have a messy history full of complications, sinners, paradox, and so on. We don't always need to have that cookie-cutter life that the world says we need, because sometimes that clashes with what God actually asks of us. And it can be hard to know the best decision to make or the course of action to follow in any given situation. God's not asking us to be perfect. God is asking us to try. We have these collections of stories and we have history because there's so much wisdom that we can gain from other people's experiences and encounters with God. Ever since there were people, God has been around them, blessing, teaching, and watching over them for all of time. And we are like the people in these texts. Even though so much of life's distractions are very different thousands of years later, we don't really change that much. Just like the midwives taught us, we don't have to work in a church or a ministry organization to do the work that reflects goodness, compassion, justice, and love. All of us, no matter what we do with our lives, have the opportunity to be a kind spirit to those we encounter, or to protest when justice isn't happening. We all have that power. Or we can all point other people to God, no matter what we do, no matter where we work or where we go. For example, some of you might only interact with customers really briefly at your jobs, but perhaps you'll be the only person to look them in the eye that day or speak to them gently. Perhaps we think our jobs or our roles aren't that important, so we can stay silent and it really won't make that big of a difference. But the truth is that we've all been given a voice to use. You might think that you have to be talking about the Bible or Jesus to point people to God, but often just listening or sitting with someone silently points them to God more than our own words and suggestions. Doing church work or justice work or just the work of being decent humans to other humans is something we can all do in our schools, homes, communities, and small groups. We all have gifts, and we can all bless and be blessed by one another, no matter where we are or what we're doing. Shifra and Pua had the gifts of being midwives, so when a chance did come up for them to choose God over Pharaoh, they did. They took that chance. And even though they didn't shut down Pharaoh once and for all, they still did what was right with the little power and opportunity that they had. There are plenty of stories about people giving what little they have, giving it all to God so that God can do huge things with them. And these midwives did just that. They used their oppressed and unseen status as a weapon to resist injustice, to resist murder. And they weren't the only ones. There were more women saviors who found these creative ways to defy Pharaoh. And this sisterhood of crafty rebels is what helped keep Moses alive and available for God's good purposes. So it might not comfort us that life is pretty messy, and there's no way around that. That might not be a comfort to us at first. You know, it would be a lot simpler if one hero could just come in, save the day, do everything in a nice, orderly fashion. But that's rarely, if ever, how God works. This time that we inhabit in reality, it's often referred to as the already not yet. This is the time when Jesus has already shown the powers and authorities, hey, you can't kill God. But we have not yet come to a place where balance is restored and everybody is safe. In this already not yet, where we experience both joy and horror, God is in the middle of it all. God is using the most unexpected, messy, crazy situations to bring about his goodness and hope. The people who we decide are weak or unimportant, God sees as strong and gives big jobs to. And like we see later on with the plagues that God sent to Egypt, Pharaoh is given a lot of chances to learn, stop sinning, and repent. But he never does. He could stop and realize that oppressing the Hebrew people is not helping population control, that his anxiety is the thing driving all of his actions, that he's getting totally played by Shiphrah Pua, or that women are indeed threats to his plans. But he didn't. He just kept grasping for control, stubbornly. Friends, we can all learn something from this story. Life will always be messy, and what it looks like to follow God or choose biblical justice might just be the opposite of what we expected. But we are still called to follow God and trust that God is above all this chaos. Totally lost my spot, but we're back to it. Oh yeah, God's above the chaos of me forgetting my spot. God is above the chaos of COVID. And God is above the chaos of our earthly leaders and the spiritual authorities. The midwives knew enough of this to make the right decision. But will we? Do we know God's heart? Are we listening? Or are we too focused on our own anxieties and grasping for control? In order to follow Shiphrah Pua's example, we need to be familiar with what's just and with what's not, or else we cannot step out into faith when and how we need to. One piece of this faith is knowing we won't always receive guarantees of safety. And another piece is knowing we won't always do things perfectly. In fact, we won't do things perfectly. If we waited until we were perfect to act, we would never act. And God doesn't tell us that there's only one exact correct path to take in any given situation. But God does tell us, learn from your failures. Gain perseverance through your struggles. Just like Shiphrah and Pua were midwives to the Hebrew women in their struggle through childbirth, God is a midwife to all of us. And what does that mean? What would a midwife do for humanity? Well, she can't necessarily take away the birth pains and contractions of life, but she is there with us in all that pain. She helps us deliver, even though it's a mess, and even though it costs us something. She would be calming, motivating, and a knowledgeable presence for us as our midwife. And that's just how God is for each one of us. God doesn't take all our pain away, but God is with us for every minute of the journey to cheer us on and to help us out. If we look at our situations the way Pharaoh looked at the growing Hebrew population, just like Pharaoh, we're just going to see a mess. But if we walk this life by sight alone, we will be too scared to trust anything by ourselves. But if we walk by faith instead of by sight, we can embrace the current chaos knowing God is with us, delivering us and remembering us in all of our roles, big and small. We are the children created, delivered, remembered, and restored by God, our powerful and all-knowing midwife. Let us remember God's promises to us, just like the Hebrew midwives remembered, and therefore may we be equipped to walk by faith and not by sight in this messy, broken, beautiful world. God, we thank you and we praise you for the stories of those who came before us. We ask that you help us grow in wisdom, understanding, and boldness so that we will be able to resist injustice in your name, just like our sisters Shifra and Pua did years ago. As we continue walking this messy, beautiful life, show us what to do, Lord.